What a wonderful God we have. This is an awesome year. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 8. Start in one of our favorite passages. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his brother saying, or his neighbor saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first obsolete. Now that which is obsolete and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. So the old covenant doesn't exist anymore. The new covenant is what you live under. And the phrase that popped out to me as I was meditating this week was the second clause. I will be their God and they shall be my people. And the prophetic words said, be attentive. Well, that means keep your eyes on Jesus. Listen to him. He is your God. Right? I will be their God, they shall be my people. Well, we're going to look this morning at a little bit of what that means. But as I was meditating, I realized God says, I will be their God and they shall be my people. You have the choice whether you let him be that or not. It's our choice whether we let him be God or whether we be our own gods. Well, let me give you a little clue. Being your own God, it doesn't work. Anyone experienced that? Yeah. We used to have a saying a while back was, yeah, how'd that work for you? Right? It doesn't. Because when we try to do it, sooner or later, something goes wrong, things break, the enemy comes in, the curse operates, different things happen. When we try to be our own God, when we try to solve the problems, hey, okay, God, I got this one. Yeah, how did that work for you? And so it's our choice whether we let him or not. And that's part of what that word attentive means, is we choose to listen to what he says, not what we think we should be doing. And I wrote down here, I will be their God. Our choice is to let him be. And on the theme of intimacy, which we started out this year, the year of intimacy with the Lord, on that theme I was thinking about, how do you develop intimacy with God in being attentive to him? And the three things that I wrote down were, number one is you spend time with him, right? Got to spend time with him, which means every minute of every day, you're aware of him, talking to him, listening to him, communicating with him. So spending time doesn't just mean as you're going about daily lives, it also means there's time when it's just you and him. Spending time. And the Holy Spirit will draw you to that. It's not something, you know, I'm going to sit an hour aside every day and pray. It's getting back under law again. Yeah. Follow what the Spirit says. I remember hearing a little saying or a little statement that says, you know, when two oxen are yoked together, they have to do everything together. And so if the Holy Spirit is wanting to go and heal someone, it's pointless you saying, no, I'm going to feed, right? Because you're yoked to him. So now you're going different directions. Or if he says, it's time to just meditate on the word, and you say, oh, I've got to go and do something. You're not following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so you are in Jesus. So you follow what he's doing, not what we want to do. You're the junior ox, okay? The big ox determines where you go. So don't try to be the big ox. Just follow the Holy Spirit. So that's number one. You live led by the Spirit. Number two was communication. Communication. That's a big thing in the modern world. You hear it again and again. Communication, people, communication. Talk, share, open. That's the same with God. Now, he's always communicating with us. It's often we have our ear tuned to something else, to the noise of this world, to whatever's going on, and not listening to him. And the third one that I wrote down, to let him be your God, is you have to be in agreement with him. Because if you disagree with him, guess who's wrong? And it's not God. Hallelujah. He is the one that leads us and directs us. He knows the plan he has for you. He's got wonderful things in store. But if you're struggling to do it yourself, trying to figure it all out, what we have to do, then we're not in agreement with him. What did Jesus say? My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Cast your care upon me. Let me deal with those circumstances. That's called rest. We talked about that last week, learning to enter into God's rest, giving up trying to do it ourselves, and being in agreement with him when he says, it's all right, son, I got this handled. We sang that song, You Are in Control. Well, that applies to your life. It doesn't mean God's control of this world. It means in your life, when you let him be your God, he is in control. He will look after it. He will sort the problems out. He will give you the wisdom. He will show you what to do. It's when we put our oar in that things get messed up. And so that agreement is an essential part of the new covenant. And I come back to when we say we're in agreement with him, the first clause tells you God's going to do that for you. I will put my way of thinking in your minds and write it in your hearts. See, we've tried for so long to do it ourselves, to try and figure out, to memorize scripture, to study this, rather than resting and following Holy Spirit and letting him bring up in us his way of thinking, his plans, his purposes. And so today, we're going to talk about, that's a good thing. We'll get into it in a second. Turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that's where the second came from. 1 Corinthians 2, we read this last week, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Do you love God? Okay. So God has great plans for you, right? Because that's what this verse says. It hasn't entered into the heart of man as a native thing, as a natural thing. You can't comprehend from your own mind, your own thinking, your own way of behaving. You can't comprehend how good God's plan is. The good news is, in verse 10, he says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So God doesn't want you ignorant about what he's got for you. He wants you to know it. And the Holy Spirit's going to show you and lead you into it. He's the one that has to manifest it in you. It's not something you can go out and do, but he has an incredible plan for your life. That's what verse 9 says. You can't even comprehend how good that plan is. Now you have some ideas about what it must be like to live totally in peace and joy and all the good things God's got. We've got a concept of it, but that's nothing compared to what God's concept is. But he does reveal it to us by his Spirit. And so as we walk through life, he is going to show us just how good he is. And drop down to verse 16, for it says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. In other words, God has given you revelation and put in you the same way of thinking as he has. That's what gets rid of doubt, right? Did Jesus doubt the Father? No, never did. Never doubted a promise. Never doubted anything God said. So he's given us that mind too. A mind of no doubt, no fear. Mind of peace and rest. A mind of knowing what God's thoughts are. How God wants us to operate. And so he has given us that mind. And the Spirit, out of verse 10 there, says the Holy Spirit reveals to us the way God thinks. So today I'm going to share a little bit more about what God wants you to know. Okay? So the topic that he gave me today, I was praying about during the week, intimacy. Here's a good one. Intimacy activates God's plan for you, right? God has this incredible plan that he wants you to live in. He wants your life, as Psalm 91, last verse says, a satisfying life, a fulfilling life, a life of every good thing. That's God's plan. As in heaven, so on earth. That's what he wants. Okay, so to get into that plan, God wants to activate it, but it requires intimacy with him. It requires being led by Holy Spirit, following him, walking in that intimacy. So we're going to go through that, but I want to start up with, what is the will of God for you? All right, most Christians want to know, well, what's God's will for me? Well, I'm going to go through a number of scriptures and lay out for you what God's will is. And I don't want you to get into fear. I don't want you to get into doubt. Okay, what I'm trying to do is build up your expectation and your confidence, and this is what God's got for you. And you might not see it this year or next year, but I'm hoping you'll see it this year. I'm expecting it this year. What God's got for us, just stepping into it. Okay, so starting with that, go to Galatians chapter 1. You can write these scriptures down and follow through them, because it does lay out. God doesn't hide anything, but he does put it in the scripture for us to search it out. That's what the scripture says, rightly dividing the word, figuring out what God says. It's spiritually discerned. It's not something that a theologian who doesn't know Jesus is going to come up with. They'll have all this analysis and everything, but it's revelation by the Spirit that teaches you what this is. So Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Well, verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the one who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. That one the Lord showed me a number of years ago. This is the overarching plan of God for your life. the big plan, okay? The summary of it all. Now, underneath it will be a whole lot of different activities and things that go on. But the overarching thing is, Jesus gave himself for us so that we could live free from the curse, free from this present evil world, free from sickness, accidents, disasters, lack, failure, guilt, condemnation, sickness, disease, depression, oppression, whatever you want to list, everything of the curse, everything negative that came in because Adam sinned, Jesus came and gave himself to deliver us from it, that we can live free from that stuff. Do you think everybody wants that? Inside every single person out there, they don't want to be sick, they don't want to age, they don't want to be depressed, they don't want it. No one wants that stuff. How many people walk free from it? This group here. Okay? Amen? That's what God wants. God's overall plan, and we'll get to some scriptures, but what pleases God, what thrills his heart, is when his children embrace and live in his plan. And we'll see that in the scripture. Okay? So here's the overall plan, that you live free from the curse. Now that, for each individual life, that can be a different thing. Okay? It can be from your background, things that came down through your family line. You're free from that. It can be your education, what you've experienced, the things you've been through. You've been freed from that. The guilt and the condemnation, the abuse, whatever it is you've suffered, you're free from that. God doesn't want any of that in your life. He removes the consequences of it. It's not just, he'll save you and get you to heaven. No, he wants you living so good here now that it's like you're heaven on earth. That's his plan. And his purpose is to work that out. And that's why the topic today was intimacy with the Lord, walking with Holy Spirit, talking with him, following him, activates that awesome plan in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, it should get you fired up right there. Thank you, Father. Okay, so chapter 1, verse 4, who gave himself for our sins. That's the key thing. This is coming back to the fact that Jesus did this. How important was it to God to give you the perfect life? So important that he sent his son to pay the price to get it to you, right? That's how important it is for God for you to live healthy, blessed, provided for, protected, anointed, ministering life wherever you go, is he sent his son to give you that privilege, okay? Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. That's God's wonderful plan for you. Okay, go over to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to be going through a number of scriptures, and I've spent a little time in each, but mostly I just want you to see in the scriptures how they tie together in this wonderful plan God has for you, what his will for you is. That's what we're going through now. The will of God, so that you get a concept of what intimacy with him will produce. Right? Because we talk about being intimate with God, and you say, yeah, I'd like to be intimate. Well, why do you want to be intimate? Because most people, they're selfish-centered and they want to just go off and do their own thing. So there must be something bigger than just what you think you want. So I'm giving you God's big plan so that you'll go, yeah, I want that intimacy. I'm going to spend time with the Father. I'm going to communicate with him. I'm going to be in agreement with him because I see his plan as a whole lot better than the one I can come up with, right? Okay, so Hebrews chapter 10. Have a look at verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Okay, so this is Jesus talking. It's a prophetic word about Jesus. He came to earth to do God's will, and this is what he did. He took away the first that he may establish the second. What's it talking about? Changing the covenants, getting rid of the old covenant, the letter of the law that brought death, condemnation, guilt, and replaced it with the new covenant that brings life and life abundantly. Right? That's the Zoe life of God. That's the life that means you get to live heaven on earth. That's what he came to do. And then it goes on and says, by which will, in other words, he came to do the will of God, was to establish the new covenant. And by that will, by God's new covenant, by his will, you are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once and for all. Now that word sanctified means set apart from the curse, set apart to be like God. That was the purpose he came, to establish the new covenant, to make you a saint. It's good to see all you saints here today, right? Perfect people in God's eyes. And that's what he has declared over you. Are you in agreement with him? All right. Okay, so he came to make you or to sanctify you through what Jesus did on the cross. That's what it says, through the body that he established or that he broke, his broken body. Okay, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. in the fact that he established the new covenant, this is what he did. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That was the old covenant. Said to do away with it. He has redeemed us from that, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. So Jesus became a curse. He took the curse, took the punishment for it, took the separation from God because of it, did everything to redeem us and bring us back into the will of the Father. That, okay, so he did that, and here's the promise. That, what? The blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, or come on every person, through Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So not only do you get all the blessings of Abraham, what also do you get? The Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Godhead living in you. That's pretty awesome, right? So he's redeemed us from the curse of the law, made us, sanctified us, set us apart through the new covenant, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. The blessing of Abraham was the blessing that came upon the Jews, and that's why he says on the Gentiles, but basically it's the blessing of Abraham upon every man who believes in Jesus. What was the blessing of Abraham? I'll make you a blessing wherever you go. I will bless you and make you a blessing. That was the blessing of Abraham. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. Bless you going in and you're coming out. He goes on, there's a whole bunch of blessings that I'm not going to get into today in Deuteronomy chapter 28. These are all the blessings that came on the children of Abraham if they obeyed God. Well, you have obeyed God because you're in the new covenant. Therefore, all those blessings are yours. And all the curses can never come because you can never break the covenant. Now, when I say they can never come, they're not supposed to come. You can reject them, but there's an enemy out there who will try and put them on you. And you can say, nope, not mine. Be gone, okay? So the blessing of Abraham, was Abraham wealthy? Mm-hmm. Did he live long? Was he healthy? Yeah, he was a strong, vibrant man. Did he do some things wrong? Did that matter? That's the good news. Amen. Even when he messed up in Egypt, God hit the enemy, not him. Even though he did it wrong, God punished the enemy. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Okay, so that's the blessing of Abraham. No curse comes nigh your dwelling. Nothing of the enemy can by any means harm you. Thank you, Jesus. And then, not only that, but the promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I go to the Father, I'll send the Comforter. And what will the Comforter do? He will lead you into all truth. He'll continually remind you that you are righteous. He will take of the Father and give unto you everything that Jesus has supplied. Everything the Father owns, all your inheritance, everything God has given to you, the Holy Spirit brings into your life. That's what the blessing of Abraham and the gift of the Holy Spirit is. It's not just, well, yeah, I get to hang in here till Jesus comes. No, you get to rule and reign. You get to declare over circumstances, situations, God's purposes. You get to change this natural world for the glory of God. That's your privilege. All right. So he established the new covenant and he gave us the blessing of Abraham and the Holy Spirit in us. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to give you all these scriptures just to rivet home how strong God's overtures to us are in his plans for us. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. In other words, you being made holy, set apart as a child of the living God. Your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. Now that word fornication, when I looked it up in the Greek, the end root of fornication is self-effort. That's what drives fornication. Okay, and so I put in there, in my Bible, I wrote in here, that you abstain from idolatry. That's the actual Greek word, means idolatry, fornication, idolatry. And idolatry, the root of idolatry is self. Putting self up above God, putting anything up above God. That's called idolatry. So getting rid of self is what it's talking about, that you possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. How do you do that? The will of God is that you live in that sanctification, casting your care upon him. Take my yoke, said Jesus. What was his yoke? I've shared this with you before. His yoke was, not my will, but thine be done. That's the yoke we live under. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, right? It's much easier to sit in the back of the car and let someone else drive than you have to deal with all the traffic and everything else, right? That's what God's offering. So, giving up self. Okay, Romans chapter 8. Most of you know this passage well, Romans chapter 8. Let's go to verse 29. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Right after the verse where it says, we know all things work together for good, that God weaves them all for your benefit. Even when the enemy tries to hit you with bad stuff, God weaves it for your blessing. He turns it into something powerful for you. Then he goes on in verse 29, so for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Before the world began, God, before he created the world, God already planned for you to be what? Conformed to the image of his Son, to be made just like Jesus. It's been God's plan from day one. Now you read Jesus' life in the New Testament, you go, ooh, that's pretty cool. Right? You get to shrink time, you get to time travel, you get to bring the real world into the natural world, to walk on water, to increase the food supply, to heal, to multiply, to heal, to bless, to deliver people from demonic forces, to preach the gospel. Okay, so like Jesus was, never worried, just going about every day having fun. You think it's fun seeing demons thrown out and people's bodies healed and people delivered from the curse? And that's the most fun you can have. Okay, and so here it says, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. In other words, his overarching thing, that you live free from the curse in being conformed to the image of Jesus. Jesus lived free from the curse. It didn't touch him. You get to live the same way. Conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. All right? So Jesus is the preeminent one. That's what firstborn also means. In Greek, means preeminent one. And he was the firstborn from the dead. As we were singing that song, you saved my life. Oh, the blood of Jesus saved my life. You know what came up in my spirit? No, he gave me life. That's an even more powerful truth, right? Because you were dead. You didn't have any life. And now you've been given life. So he gave us life. Not just saved it, he gave us life. Thank you, Father. Moreover, verse 30, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Okay, so he planned it. And then he gave a calling to you, saying, you are my child. Come, follow me. You've been called to walk with him. Them he also called. And whom he called, he justified. He made righteous. He made just like Jesus. Just as if you'd never sinned. Back to the way he designed you in the Garden of Eden. Free from the curse operating in your body. Sickness, disease, hereditary conditions, anything, failure, aging, all that stuff he removed. He justified you. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Well, what do you mean he glorified me? Well, he's made you just like Jesus. Here's a good little scripture. This will get you going. Okay, go over and have a look at John chapter 2. John chapter 2, talking about them he also glorified. Okay, John chapter 2, have a look at verse 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus. Are you conformed into Jesus' image? Made just like him, okay? So this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. This was the wedding feast, okay? We performed his first miracle. And manifested forth, what? His glory. And his disciples believed on him. Ooh! Them he also glorified. Part of your normal existence is miracles happening every day. Ooh, that's a challenge for some. Is that what you expect? Is that the way you believe? Is that what you agree with? Miracles occur because you're around. That's the glory manifesting. That's what's said there, right? This Jesus did, manifesting his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Wow. That's part of your glorious life, is seeing miracles happening. Wow, it's a miracle walking free from the curse, walking in divine health. That's a miracle in itself, right? It happens every day. And then you get to declare and speak and see miracles happen over other people. All right. So we were on Romans chapter 8, 29 and verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he justified or made righteous. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. That's your current state. You live in the glory of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Getting you used to where things are in your Bible. Changing 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Okay, have a look at verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Moreover, we all, with open face. Now, this is chapter 3 is about the contrast between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, right? Verse 6 and 7, it says that the Old Covenant was the ministry of death, the New Covenant's the ministry of life. And then down the end of this, he says, verse 70, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. What is the Spirit? The one that took away the veil. Jesus' body tore it, and the Holy Spirit's come in. Moreover, because of what Jesus did, because his body was torn, the veil was removed, We all with open face. In other words, we all with a clarity of vision. That's really what it's saying. Okay, open face means you get to see clearly. You're not veiled. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. So that's his miraculous power, his supernatural presence, his radiance, everything about the Lord. You get to see that without any veil hiding it. Wow. Because there's an Old Testament verse that says, you know, no man can see God and live. Well, guess what? You're not a man anymore. You're a divine child. Okay, now you're in human flesh, but you can see God and live. All right, so where were we? Back over here, verse 18. But we all with open face, in other words, God's not hiding. He wants you to know his presence. As in a mirror, as in a glass, you see the glory of the Lord and are changed into the same image. Now that takes a little bit of getting our minds around. The same image, from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. See, it's not our job to do it. We see the glory of God. We see his miraculous power. We see what Jesus did, the greatness of his faith. And when we see that, the Holy Spirit produces in us that same image. It says, that's who you are. You're the one that goes out, defeats the enemy, destroys the curse, stops it operating, sees the glory of the Lord manifest through you. And the key to that, so there's an image or a picture of God's will for you. You're just like Jesus, living free from the curse, miraculous power operating through you, the fullness of the Holy Spirit in you, living every day led by him, seeing his glory manifest. That's his plan for you. Now, how that works out in your daily life, he will lead you. For each one of us has a different purpose, has a different calling, different activities, different people we relate to, different things that go on. But the overall thing that operates through you is the Holy Spirit miraculously doing through you what God needs done in this earth. Whether it be praying over circumstances, praying over the nation, praying over the lies of the enemy, pulling down the strongholds, whatever God's got you doing. That's your purpose. Okay? And so here, we're going to go over now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and show you this particular verse the Lord took me to, the state that you live in every day. I've given you the big picture of God's plan for your life. And you can, the Holy Spirit will fill in the details of everyday activities, all right? And the things you do, the gifts you've been given, the calling you have to minister life. But activating that requires this. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Spirit of gratefulness, that's what that is. Recognizing that Daddy has done it all. He's already got it fixed. He's got it figured out. And so that's why you give him thanks. Thank you, Jesus. That's why we get together and have a time of praise and worship each Sunday morning, just to give him thanks together as a group, exalting him, thanking him for what he's done, tuning our hearts again to say, thank you, Jesus, for what a good God you are. So in everything, give thanks. And it, notice it doesn't say for everything, because you don't have to give thanks for the enemy attacking you. Right? You don't have to give thanks for sickness and disease and the stuff that's going on out there, anything of the curse. You don't give thanks for. But in your daily life, you live in a state of gratefulness because he has delivered you from all that stuff. That's why you get to speak to it, rebuke it, command it to go. Declare the blessing of the Lord over your particular circumstances. So living in, giving thanks in everything, for that's God's will. Literally what that means is when you're giving thanks because he has delivered you from the curse, that allows his will to work in your life. Allows it to manifest. Okay, so then, now what I'm going to do is go into the Passion Translation and read you some passages from here that will hopefully fire you up even more if you're not fired up enough yet about what God's got for you. Okay, so let's start this. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to read verse 3. Got a number of scriptures here that say the same thing. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, it says this. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm, does God have a few blessings in heaven? That's all he's got, right? There is no curse coming from God. He's not out there trying to make life hard or difficult or anything. No, every spiritual blessing and everything in this natural world has a spiritual root. And there's a demonic force out there that's trying to bring every bad thing in. Here God says every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm, now this is what it says, has already been lavished upon us as a loved gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all our hearts. Isn't that good? Has already lavished you with every love gift, lavished you with every blessing, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places has already been lavished on you as a love gift. That's who our God is. He wants your best. His plan for you is to live in his best. From our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, and he does it because he sees us wrapped into Christ. He sees you in Jesus. This is why we celebrate him with all our hearts. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. Drop down to verse 19, same chapter, Ephesians 1, verse 19. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Paul had a concept of it. He knew the Holy Spirit in you, the fullness of the Godhead in you. He wanted you living in that. And so what does he say? He says, I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable power. That means you don't have to. You can choose not to. But it requires intimacy and walking with the Lord, following Holy Spirit, to experience that immeasurable power. The immeasurable greatness of God's power that is made available to you through faith. If you don't believe you have it, it ain't going to work. You have to know. When I believe, that's that know. Know that God's power is there. He's not withholding it. That's why I read verse 3. He's already lavished upon you everything from the spiritual realm. It's already given. And so here where he says, I pray you experience that power, he's saying it's already been given, so now you let it flow. Let the Holy Spirit do it through you. Let him manifest it. That you would experience that immeasurable power through faith. That's seeing how big Jesus' faith was, that he's already done it all, given you everything that you need, and just receiving it. Then he goes on and says, then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. Thank you, Jesus. The world gets to see. Ooh, how come they never get sick? How come they're always happy? How come they? Because we have a God. We live in the new covenant. Okay, you see this immense power, advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Jesus from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. That same power that raised Jesus is the power that operates in you. So why do we think it's tough for God to do anything for us, to heal us, to bless us, to provide for us, to get rid of that thinking? Thank you, Jesus, it's done. All right, verse 21. And now he is exalted as first above every ruler, authority, government, and realm of power in existence. And because you're in him, that means you're above every government and power and authority on this earth. And you have the right to speak to it and command it to do what God says. Why is our government so messed up? Because us Christians haven't been taking our authority. That's a different point. Okay, back here. Now he, verse 21, now he is exalted as first above every ruler, authority, government, and realm of power in existence. He is gloriously enthroned over every name that is ever praised, not only in this age, but in the age that is coming. Okay? That's who our Jesus is. And he alone is the leader and source of everything needed in the church. He is the one that does it. God has put everything beneath the authority of Jesus Christ and has given him the highest rank above all others. And now we, his church, are his body on the earth and that which fills him who is being filled by it. You are the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In other words, we make up God. We give him his fullness. How does that happen? Well, that's a spiritual revelation. It's a mystery in God. But that's what the word says, that we fill him up. That's what gives him pleasure, when we walk led by Holy Spirit. Okay, drop down to chapter 2, verse 4. Still reading out of the Passion Translation. But God still loved us with such great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. And this is how it manifests. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, he united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. He raised us up with Christ and the Exalted One, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm, for we are now co-seated as one with Christ. Phew! I'm going to read that again, right? He raised us up with Christ, the Exalted One. When he raised Jesus out of the grave, he raised us up with him, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm. And so many Christians think that we're just hanging in here till Jesus comes again, living so short of what God planned for them. Right? And we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm. That's where we speak from. For we are now co-seated as one with Christ. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of his grace and kindness, which were showered upon us in Jesus Christ. For it is only through this wonderful grace that we believed in him. Nothing we could ever do could earn this salvation, for it was a gracious gift from God that brought us to Christ. So no one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving. We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given to each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. That's his plan for you. I'm going to read that last verse, the verse 10 again. For we have become his poetry, the picture of his glory, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. You will fulfill it. That's God's plan. Amen. Fulfill the destiny he has given each of us, for we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance your destiny and the good works which we would fulfill, or we would do to fulfill his destiny. Thank you, Jesus. All right, that's correct. He's done them. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. For in the King James, that's the verse that says, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In the Passion, it says, God will continually revitalize you. Always the Holy Spirit quickens your mortal body. Romans 8, verse 11. Quickens you, okay, will revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. The desire to follow Holy Spirit, the hunger and thirst for the power of God moving through you. He plants it in us. That's what makes this life so much fun. It's not about what I have to do. It's what I get to be part of. What God is doing in us. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Probably another memory verse for a lot of you. I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation again. 12 verse 2. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. There, a deal with that one, right? Don't take those tablets. Don't go to the doctor, in inverted comma. Don't use the world's way of doing things. Go to Jesus first, okay? Don't imitate or stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. One of the opinions of the culture is you have to get a degree to get a good job to be successful. Don't imitate that. Follow Holy Spirit's leading, okay? What's it say? Don't imitate the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. But be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. And you link that with New Covenant clause. I will put my way of thinking in your minds. It's not your job to do it. It's your job to reject the ideals and nature of this world and choose to think and do what God says. All right? And he's the one that does it. He transforms you by the Holy Spirit who totally reforms how you think. All right? That's what's happening. It's repentance, yeah? Changing the way we think. And then it goes on and says, this will, the result of that transformation, of you letting the Holy Spirit change the way you think to agree with him, to be in agreement, that communication, agreement in time, intimacy with God, okay, says, this will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. Okay, this is Romans 12, 2. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. I will put my laws in your minds and write them in your hearts. Receive that. The result of that is this will empower you to discern God's will. In other words, to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, to know what he's leading you to do, to know to reject the curse, to, Okay, that you will be able to discern God's will, which we've seen, I've given you the big will, right? Living free from the curse. That you discern how to do that in everyday life as you live, and the result of discerning that and living that is you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in God's eyes. You've got to choose to agree with what God says. But that's his plan, to do that through you. Does God say you can do miracles? Can you do miracles? A normal part of everyday life. Thank you, Jesus. This beautiful life that you've got that pleases God. See, when you live in that perfect will, that's what gives the Father pleasure. Why? Because he says it was worth giving up my son. Look at all those people who are fulfilling my plan in their lives. That thrills him. You want to please God? Give up self and start following Holy Spirit. Let his power work through you. That's what God does. Okay, so how do we live in it? John chapter 6, verse 29. Back to the King James. It's just more concise. John chapter 6, verse 29 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. Believe on Jesus. Believe that Jesus has done it all. He's already made it available. He has produced in you. You are a co-heir with him. God the Father has released every spiritual blessing. He's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Go through all those wonderful scriptures that God has given to you, and I missed a couple of them. 2 Peter 1:3, you've been given everything that pertains to life and godliness, right? You can write that down. And 2 Corinthians 9:8, the scripture that says, all grace has been given unto you that you may have all sufficiency in all things for every good work. It goes along with what we read there in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, living in thanksgiving, all right, because of what God has done for you. All right, Hebrews chapter 10. So there we've read John 16. This is the work that you believe on Jesus. What do you believe? That he works in you, that his grace operates through you, and his ability you have. This is John 6:29. We're going to Hebrews 10 next, but I just quoted John 6:29. Work. Our work is to believe on Jesus, to believe that he is the one that works in us, that his grace is our ability, that he is the one doing it through us. It's not us that does it. Hebrews chapter 10. Now we're going to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 19. That's where we're going to start. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Why do you have boldness? Because you're righteous. Because God has a plan for you. And that plan includes boldly coming into his presence. In fact, living boldly in his presence. And what does that boldly mean? With confidence, knowing you will never be rejected. Confidence, knowing that whatever you declare, based on the will of the Father, will come to pass. God says, you ask anything, rightfully demand what's due, and you've got it. That's coming boldly. Having boldness to enter into the holiest of holies, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Because of what Jesus did, we're able to enter into the Holy of Holies. And I was singing this morning as I was going through these notes. That song came back. I found a new way of living. I found a new life divine. Do you remember that one? I have the fruit of the Spirit. I'm abiding in the vine. And then it lists them, right? Love, joy, health, peace. He has made them mine. Power and victory, prosperity, power and victory are mine. Those are the ones I remember. Okay. abiding in the vine. That's what we're talking about. That's all been provided. He's given it to us. So here, through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, who is Jesus, let us draw near. And that's the word korban in the Hebrew, which means let us be part of. It's an offering, a gift. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Full assurance that God has done it. Yes. Having our hearts cleansed from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Made righteous. So let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. God has a wonderful plan for you, and he's promised to do it, and he certified it in the blood of Jesus. I guarantee I'm going to do it. We'd be silly not to make use of it, right? Yeah. Unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians who are silly, in inverted commas, are not making use of it, all right? And then the final two verses, let us consider one another unto good works, one another provoking one another unto love and good works, not forsaking the gathering together. I want to read this one out of... out of the Passion, Hebrews 10, because it puts in here these last couple of verses. I enjoyed it when I read it this morning. Hebrews 10, and we're talking verse 25. Let's start in verse 23. So now wrap your heart tightly around the hope that lives within you, knowing that God always keeps his promises. What is the hope that lives within you? Christ in you, the hope of glory. His power, his anointing, his provision, his miracles, his glory. Discover creative ways to encourage others and to motivate them toward acts of compassion, doing beautiful works as expressions of love. That's the manifestation of the Holy Spirit through you and through each other. This is verse 24. Discover creative ways to encourage others. Now, who gives you creative ways? Holy Spirit. He'll show you how to bless others. To motivate them, to encourage others, and to motivate them toward acts of compassion, doing beautiful works as expressions of love. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing. Do you realize that's what Satan tried to do through the pandemic? Get everyone to stay in their homes and watch it online? And there's still a whole lot of Christians that do that. And Paul is saying here, don't do that. Okay? This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together. Why? Because there's something about corporate worship, corporate togetherness that builds the spirit. Okay? As some have formed the habit of doing. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day dawning. Right? So, he's encouraging you to do it more. Get together and lift each other up and encourage each other in what God has got for us. All right, Hebrews chapter 4. A few more verses. Hebrews chapter 4, in the King James, verse 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold fast our confession, what we say, agreeing with what God says. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, I've explained that to you before. That temptation Jesus had was the same temptation we all face, to do our own thing. That was what he suffered. Hebrews says that. Chapter 3, verse 18 says that. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. It's the same thing he talks about here in verse 15. For we have a high priest, went through the same thing, was tempted like as we are, yet he never gave in to it. Let us therefore come boldly, or outspokenly, or frankly, unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And a better way of putting that in time of need is to find the help that is perfectly timed. It's the best way to translate the Greek there. You come into God's presence knowing that he has everything you need. All right, Romans chapter 8, verse 15. This is how you do it. Resting, knowing God's already done it. Learning to let him work it through you. Verse 15, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of sonship whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus. If so be, we suffer with him that we may be also glorified together. Again, that suffering is talking about denying self. I'm going to read this one out of the Passion as well. Romans chapter 8. Verse 15, and you did not receive the spirit of religious duty, bondage again to fear, leading you back into fear. You did not receive that spirit of religious duty that leads you back into fear, of never being good enough, the spirit of fear. But you have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God, and you will never feel orphaned. For as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, Beloved Father, for the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, You are God's beloved child. And since we are his true children, we qualify to share all his treasures. For indeed we are heirs of God himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is and all that he has. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. We will experience being co-glorified with him, provided that we accept his sufferings as our own. Not my will, but thine be done. Thank you, Father. Final passage. And this is really how intimacy works the plan. All right? God's plan for you is what we're looking at. Intimacy activates God's plan. We've looked at God's plan, what he wants for us, how he wants us to live. And this final passage is how that intimacy with him works that plan out in your daily life. And this is Ephesians chapter 3. This is Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, an amazing passage, verse 16. And I pray that God, He would unveil within you the unlimited riches of His glory and favor. I want you to get this. This is kind of a summary of everything that I've shared with you today. So let it really minister to you. I pray that He would unveil within you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He reveals to you, unveils it, lets you see it. Unveil within you the unlimited riches of His glory and favor. Unlimited. There's no boundary on it. There's no restriction on it. There's nothing stopping it. The riches, the unlimited riches of His glory and favor. What He wants to do in your life. How He wants you to live that incredibly wonderful life. Let me read again. And I pray that He would unveil within you the unlimited riches of His glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with His divine might and explosive power. Woo! That's Paul's declaration, that the Holy Spirit would give you that revelation, that He would open up to see the glory and favor so that the supernatural strength of God floods your innermost being with His divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, knowing that God's already done it, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of His love will become the very source and root of your life. Resting in His love, His purpose in you. All right, verse 18. Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is His love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. That's what He wants for you. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. Right? Never doubt His power to do it, to let that love flow, to let His fullness flow. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you. Last verse. Now we offer up to God all the glorious praise that rises from every church in every generation through Jesus Christ, and all that will yet be manifest through time and eternity. Amen. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. His glorious plan, His miraculous power, His life working through you. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request. Infinitely more, not just, well, a little bit more. Infinitely more than your greatest request. Your most unbelievable dream. And exceed your wildest imagination. Wow. He will outdo them all, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you. Does God have a good plan for you? Ooh, yes. And not only that, He does it. We get out of the way and let Him do it. Just walk in that intimacy, led by Holy Spirit, enjoying His presence, and He has covenanted to do every good thing for you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for what an awesome God you are. So hard for our natural mind to comprehend the greatness of your plans for us, Father, but by faith we receive them. And we let you, Holy Spirit, work with your mighty power to produce in us everything that pleases the Father. Our greatest imaginations, our wildest imaginations, our greatest dreams, way beyond that, that you would do it for your glory, that you would cause your Spirit to manifest your life through us, ministering to everyone that we come in contact with. Thank you for the privilege we have of being your children. We give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.